not Satan. But when we give him all this authority and power, this is what that word says. When we're in defense, and defense and defiance, we have to realize that we're giving Satan a lot of ground when we allow him to come in and do things that God says he's not supposed to do. You know, we're giving up too much to the enemy. And this is what God said. This is what God had to say about it. God said, I want you to just listen to what God said. You know, what he said about Satan. He says, healing demonstrates judgment on Satan. Let me explain to you what that means. When we're healed and we lay hands on the sick and they're healed and they recover, this demonstrates judgment on Satan. You know what it says to him? You don't belong here. You have no power here. Goodbye. And he has to go. At the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess. So this is what God says. When you're talking about healing and anything else that you're talking about, but especially I'm talking about healing right now, it demonstrates judgment. God has judged Satan. You do not belong here. You do not have no power here. And you need to go in the name of Jesus. But when we press in to the promises of God through the blood of Jesus, you know, we have the blood bought right to be healed of all of the plagues that Satan can throw on us. We have the blood bought right through Jesus Christ. We show and demonstrate, you know, the whipping and absolute stripping of all of Satan's power. You know, Jesus made a show of him openly for all to see. You know, through Jesus, we have complete access to the kingdom of God. Let's not cower down or take down because of this enemy. You know, Satan does not have the right to steal our loved ones, you know, away from us through sickness and disease, you know, before their time. He has no right to kill or steal our hopes and desires for a long, full, enjoyable life here on this earth. Medical science can't cure cancer, diabetes, hypertension, tumors, you know, any cancer of the pancreas, of the stomach, or any kind of cancerous diseases. We need to meet fire with fire, saints of God. The Bible says nothing is impossible with God. Our God is a consuming fire. And we find that in Deuteronomy 6 and 24. It's a consuming fire. And if we want to be able to consume Satan in this fire, we're going to have to do something, saints. We're going to have to do something. You know, in Deuteronomy 6, I'm just going to read it, 6 and 24. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. See, God don't want Satan taking none of his accolades, none of his power. He don't want him to have nothing. And as a result, because we're his children, we don't want him to have nothing either. We saw an example of the fires of God when he burned the city of Sodom and Gomorrah because they refused to repent, you know? And we saw where the fires of man could not burn a thread of the garments of the three Hebrew boys when they were thrown in the fiery furnace. The Bible says that it tells us, you know, it was seven times hotter than the normal fire. This fire that the king had built up for Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, it was seven times hotter than a regular fire. And we know what happened. Jesus got into the fire with them. They came out without so much as a smell of smoke on their clothes. Saints, we must learn. We must learn to lean and depend on Jesus. He alone is our Redeemer, our Healer, our Deliverer, our Provider, and our Lifter up of our head. You know, He is our bridge over troubled waters. God is power and strength to us. Saints of God, you need to know these things about your God. He is God. There is no other God like our God. God is a constant friend to us. The Bible tells us that God is our protection, and we can only be safe when we're in Him.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell, or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And there's something important in the word or the phrase "in remembrance of me" that I want us to see. Let's begin at verse 14, and recorded are these words. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Verse 20 says, "Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you.'" You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. At the end of verse 19, it says, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Now, my brothers and sisters, is important because when we look at this word in the infinite wisdom of God, he looked into the future centuries and recognized through man's great hurriedness and his involvement that he would be prone in his own pursuits to forget after many years and many centuries of the goodness of God done through Jesus Christ at Calvary, and would need to institute, put in place ceremonials, ceremonies, memorials, etc., to remind and preserve in the memory of his people the great grace wherewith God has shown and the great love that God has demonstrated through the giving of his son and his son of his life. He had to put some things in place so that we would never ever forget what God has done for us as relates to our salvation, as relates to our deliverance, as relates to his redemption of mankind. And so as Jesus institute what we now know as the Lord's Supper or the communion experience, it is so that we will remember some things that were important to Jesus and that should be important to every believer. And one of the things I want you to look at again and understand is prior to his crucifixion, Jesus observed what was then known as the Passover feast with his disciples. And the Passover feast, of course, was to remind them about what God had done in the Old Testament times when God allowed all of the people who had the blood on the doorposts and lintel for that death angel to pass over their homes and not go in and destroy the firstborn. And so as they celebrated that, Jesus literally makes them understand that this Lord's Supper is a new ceremony. It is a new memorial. It is about what he wants you to remember as it relates to the great price that he would soon pay for all mankind's life, especially for those who accepts him and becomes a part of the royal family. And so when we recognize this, his body and blood as the sacrifice of all sins paid for all mankind, he did not want that to go reminded of to the believer so that they did not forget the things that were most important as related to how they got their salvation. It's important, and it's also amazing how folk can forget the good you do, but they don't forget the bad. You know, ain't no sense in us playing holier than thou. There are folk that we've been a blessing to. We've blessed, picked up, done this, done that, and they forget about those things. But how amazingly so do they remember the bad things. And Jesus said, I want to put something in place so when you're having your selective amnesia, you don't forget what I've done for you. And so it's important to see this. This is what Jesus himself is instituting for the body of Christ. And it's important to recognize that he wants us to know that we have this redemption through Jesus's blood. Paul makes this clear in Ephesians 1:7. And so it's important to realize why we do this. Now look again at this phrase, this do in remembrance of me. Do what? Well, first of all, he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to them saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Now, that's reminding us that Jesus Christ himself in his own flesh gave his life. No man took his life. He laid his life down. Remember, he gave it to you. Remember, he gave it to you. It was a sacrifice he was willing to make. It was something he and only he could do, but it still was at his own desire. But then again, the Bible makes clear and move forward in verse 20. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying this cup is the New Testament. It's the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. So here was what he recognized, that the New Testament, the new covenant, could not be secure or come into full effect until after he died. The wine represented the blood that he would pour out, that he would share to bring the new covenant or the New Testament in full effect. Now keep in mind, when Jesus said this, they were still functioning under the old covenant or the Old Testament. The New Testament literally does not come into full effect until after Jesus dies, pays the price, sheds his blood. And when that is done, he now secures the penalty and pays for it with his blood for all mankind, for all generations. And so now when he raises from the dead a new life, in God. It is this reality that begins the New Testament as we know it. And so literally when we see beginning at the book of Acts, you begin to see the Holy Ghost in that second chapter coming and fulfilling the role that Jesus said he would play when he prophesied in the Old Testament, that he would send another comforter and all of the wonderful things that the Holy Ghost would do. We are made aware of that from Acts on. And so when we recognize this, again, it has much to do with what Jesus said in the text. This do in remembrance of me. Now, this phrase is inclusive of two major things that we must always keep in mind when we partake of this table. This do, let's break it down and separate it so we'll understand it. This do has to do with the actual partaking of the bread and the wine. That's the physical part. That is the natural part. That's where we eat the bread. That's where we drink the wine. He said, do this, or this do, meaning do it in like manner. Do it as you are instructed. It literally means to practice what he himself has put in place. So that's the part we do every month in our ministry. And most folk do that without even thinking. Now, that part doesn't require, listen at this, as much thinking as the next part that follows in the phrase. Because it says, in remembrance of me. So that literally means, and I need you to get this in your mind from the next time you begin to participate, whether it's in this ministry or any other ministry, in the Lord's Supper, the next time you take that bread and the next time you drink that wine, you ought to be remembering something about what Jesus Christ himself said or did to us, because this is a memorial unto him. It is to preserve what he himself has said and done in the lives of the believer here on planet Earth. Let me give you an example. As you prepare to take the Lord's Supper the next time and you take the bread, you ought to remember his mission to the world, found in Luke 4, 18 and 19, when he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to preach the gospel, and he ministers what he has given him to do. He said, do this in what?
Remembrance.
Remembrance of me. So what am I remembering? I'm remembering his mission.
Yes.
Well, let me move a little further. What else am I supposed to remember? I'm supposed to remember his temptation, found in Matthew 4 and 1, where the Spirit of the Lord led Jesus into the wilderness to be tried of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. We need to remember when we are taking this Lord's Supper that if Jesus was tempted, if we remember what he went through, then it is a prelude to what we're going to go through. And so we won't be so shocked and surprised when we're going through things if we remember he had to go through some stuff. He said, do this, this do in remembrance. I mean, well, what else do we want to remember? What he taught about salvation, John 3 and 3, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, you must be born again. No way around it. That's why this is for the saved. This is for those who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's table is not for those who are not born again. You do this in remembrance of him. That's why parents are not to allow children to partake of the bread and the wine if they are not baptized believers in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
You're doing this in remembrance of him. You are honoring him, preserving his memory, his work, and his word. Well, what else do we remember? That he called us into service. Matthew 4, 19 says, make you to become fishers of men. Jesus called us into service. When we partake of this table, we ought to remember we are called into service. And the service is so that we will become fishers of men. We've got a job to do.
That's right. That's right. We have got a responsibility to help save somebody else. When we take up that bread and drink of that cup, it's not just for us. It's to remind us, now that I'm saved, I'm supposed to be an extension of Jesus to help save somebody. Might be on my job, might be in my home, might be in my neighborhood, might be in my relationship, might be in my kinship. But wherever it is, I am called to be a fisher. I mean, what else am I supposed to remember? What he said about my cross. Yes. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, he said there are some things you've got to do. First, you've got to deny yourself. Amen. He's telling us to remember this. He said, then we've got to take up our cross. Yes. Then we can follow him daily. Yes. So the first thing he reminds us about as we're taking our Lord's Supper is we got to deny ourselves. Do you know how much better life would be if we could get self out the way? Yes. See, the reason why we can't really follow the Lord or even take up our cross is we're too caught up in us. But if we could ever deny ourselves, we wouldn't have a problem with reaching, taking up our cross and following Jesus' lead daily. Well, what else does he say about us? He says, remember what I taught about love. John 15, 17. He says, this I command you, that ye love one another even as I have loved you. Wait a minute. This is not a suggestion. I don't care how much you work my last nerve. He said, I want you to love that person. I don't care how bad you do me. He said, I want you to love that person. And he said, listen at this, this isn't a suggestion. He said, this is a command. So if I say I love you with tears in my eyes, it's because it's just that hard to do, but I got to do it because he commanded me, and I've got to remember this. Listen at this, what does he teach about hell? In Matthew 18 and 18, he says, listen, if your hand or your feet offend you, he said, do you know it's better that you cut those things off and disassociate? And he didn't mean literally. He meant figuratively. Anything that you participate in, anything that keeps you from loving the Lord, doing right by the Lord, being what God's called you to do, cut yourself off from that or them so that you don't end up in hell whole. It's better, he says, to enter into life, to really be saved and to fulfill the things that God has given you. He came that you might have life and that more abundantly. He said, it's better that you be in, that you enter into life and be crippled than to end up in hell whole. Some of y'all gonna catch that on. And so, you know, a lot of times folk don't always ask, but when things happen to folk, they want to know what caused them to have that situation. It's better that you cut your hands and your feet off. You cut the association off. Folks say, well, why did you do this? Why did you? Because, you know, it was better for me to get rid of that that was destroying me and know that I made a choice to go through hell while I'm alive than to die and go to hell eternally. He said, what else do you have something to say about? He says, remember what I taught about heaven. John 14, 1 through 3. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house. And he goes on to tell the story simply that heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Remember what I said. I want you to see something else. What does he say about his presence? Matthew 18, 20. He says this, wherever two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst of them. He wants us to remember that. You get two believers together, you can count Jesus in. It don't take a whole lot of folk to have a praise or a worship service. He says, I want you to know God doesn't despise small beginnings. If you can just get two folk to agree, if you can get just two people to say, I believe what God said, If you can get two people to lift up holy hands, if you can just get two people who will say, I feel like having church, and the other says, amen, you got Jesus right there in the midst. Aren't you glad he doesn't just show up at mega churches? So if he doesn't just show up at mega, that means a healing can be where two or three are. Deliverance can be where two or three are. It means the blessings of the Lord can be where two or three are. And it literally means he's wherever you are. So if you happen to be in your house, we having church up in my house today. If you happen to be in your car, in the break room on your job, in the mall, and you meet another believer, wherever you are, if you get together, he says, there I am in the midst. Remember, what else does he say? That I prayed for you, John 17 and 15. He says, listen, I want you to remember what I prayed now. This do in remembrance of me. Take this Lord's Supper, but remember what I've taught you. He said, I didn't pray to Father that you would not go through trouble. He said, don't get this thing twisted. You are a victor. You are an overcomer. You are more than a conqueror. How would you know these things if you hadn't been through no things? I didn't pray to Father that he keep you from trouble. No, 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 no. As a matter of fact, the closer you get to me, the stronger trouble is going to come your way. The more you develop into what I want you to be, the more the enemy is going to try you. And I want you to know, don't worry about that. The thing that I have prayed for is that God keeps the evil one away from you. I don't mind his test. I don't mind his trials. I don't mind his tribulations. Listen at this. He says, but my prayer is that the devil don't get a hold of you. And see, what you don't understand is, my brothers and sisters, when Jesus prays this prayer, it is so that you will operate in faith and operate in the word of God. And when you don't do that, then the evil one has the ability to put his hands on you, on your mind, on your heart, on your actions, on your attitude, on your ambitions, on your activities, on everything that's connected to you then. And so he says, I want you to remember that. He says, I want you to remember that you are my witnesses. Acts 1 and 8. But ye shall receive power. This is Jesus speaking. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. When you're taking the Lord's Supper, you've got to remember that he said you are going to be witnesses of him. Every month when we take the Lord's Supper, we ought to remember these things, because it is remembering these things that prepare us to go up and go higher and go further than we did the month before, knowing that there is a purpose for us celebrating the Lord's Supper. It's not just to break bread and drink wine. It's not just to remember that he died for us on Calvary and he rose the third day. It is to remind us of what we are called to do until he returns. And so when we get this in our hearts and in our minds, the Lord's Supper will never be a ritual, because it requires a response. See, a ritual doesn't really recall or require response the way Jesus. He said, in remembrance of me. In remembrance of me stirs up the gift in you. In remembrance of me stirs up the message in you. In remembrance of me plays a picture back of what it was I said for you to do. In remembrance of me reminds you, as if I were right here again saying the same things over to you. In remembrance of me means you won't forget what I've told you to do or told you I would do. He says, this do in remembrance of me. And then lastly, he says, remember what I taught you to do about humility. Because too many of us get high-minded, big-headed, stuck up and caught up on ourselves and what we think we are and what we have accomplished. And because we have reached or certain attainments we have gained,